blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work, and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name by Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The word of the Lord. Please join me in reading the Psalm 82 to be read in unison. God takes his stand in the council of heaven. He gives judgment in the midst of the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked? Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and the needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked. They do not know, neither do they understand, that they go about in darkness. All of the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now I say to you, you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, but foreign armies to fight, flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that has set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Not much good news in that gospel, is there? How many of you have been to a tent meeting, a revivalist experience? Let me see your hands, please. Good number of you. Good. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Many of the 19th and 20th century, early 20th century evangelists and tent revivalists preached sermons that were based on God's wrath and judgment. A well-preached fire and brimstone sermon, as they were known, could induce ecstasy and euphoria, thought to be powerful manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The culmination of these sermons and conversion experiences was the call to repentance and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Perhaps the best-known true life evangelist of our day is Billy Graham. The tradition of evangelism is alive and well today, but it remains abstract and elusive for many. It's misunderstood. Many Episcopalians are afraid of evangelism. In fact, we are all called to be evangelists, that is, taking the gospel into the world by example and word. In 1998, Robert Duvall wrote, directed, and starred in an amazing film called The Apostle. Perhaps some of you have seen it. It's a fictional account, but it's a fair and sympathetic look at the preaching life of a Texas Pentecostal preacher, who, by the way, would hardly let God get a word in edgewise. Many of us are quick to judge others and their circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, we don't like to be judged, do we? We don't want to be judged. Fire and brimstone or sermons about judgment are not preached much today because we don't want to hear it. Today, we want to be lifted up by the good news that we are unconditionally loved by God. And in the end, that loving God will surely take every one of us to heaven. We all like to think that there will be no judgment, no hell, no eternal damnation. This is dangerous thinking, because it ignores the gospel truths about sin, repentance, and forgiveness, about redemption. Over the last few weeks, we have heard Luke's warnings about the coming judgment. And now Luke reveals the terrible stress and division that will accompany judgment, Jesus' judgment. Irony and pathos run deep in the passages of today's gospel. Jesus has come to bring God's peace. But the work of redemption inevitably brings division also. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire to the earth until I wish it were already kindled." Then he continues his rant. This is a rant, by the way. "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And we see that this division Jesus speaks about will divide families. So Jesus promises fire and division. In a parallel account in Matthew 10, Jesus claims that he does not come to bring peace, but a sword to divide families, and that anyone who prefers even their parents to him is not worthy of him. Both accounts contain harsh words, to be sure, and for many of us, the expectations may seem excessive or even preposterous. This is hard stuff. However, I remind you, as I often do, that when we read Scripture, we must study the context in which it is being said, when something is being said. Jesus' proclamation that he will bring fire to the earth makes use of the symbolism of fire. In the ancient world, fire represents divine action, often as a purifying judgment, as in Deuteronomy 4, where God is described as a devouring fire. And then in Hebrews 12, we read that God is a consuming fire. Luke is also recalling the actions of the prophet Elijah, who called fire upon the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. We just heard read Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces?" These texts fly in the face of Jesus, the image of Jesus, as the Prince of Peace. Yet we must remember Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus. "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many." And he goes on, "And the one who would bring salvation would also bring judgment. What are we to make of this? Can't we just ignore these warnings and move on? It would be so much more comfortable. But no, we cannot. We cannot. Because if we're truly followers of Jesus, then a response and a commitment are required. If we heed these warnings of a coming judgment, we must examine our commitments. It is all too easy to make commitments in one area of our life as though it does not affect other areas also. The sins of lying and cheating and stealing affect the core of our being and cannot be compartmented to just one or another part of our life. The commitment of faith or of faith means our attitudes towards others must change, and that our moral responsibilities must be taken with even greater seriousness. Jesus also warns that when we make a commitment to Him, we will find our relationships to others, even those closest to us, affected by that commitment. It's happened to some of you. Our commitment to Christ shapes our values, priorities, goals, and behavior. It also forces us to change the old patterns of life. And these changes may precipitate crises in our significant relationships. Henry Nouwen, the famous Roman Catholic priest and writer, once said, "As you see more clearly that your vocation is to be a witness to God's love in the world, the attacks of the enemy will increase. You will hear voices saying, 'You are worthless. You have nothing to offer.'" The old-time preachers, the tent preachers, the firebrand preachers had it right. There is sin in this world. We are all sinners. There will be judgment. And those of us who claim to be God's own and do nothing to create God's kingdom here on earth are no better than the world as is it is, divided by abuse of power, consuming greed, relentless violence, and narcissistic pride. No, that is not a comfortable thought. Yet we are called to testify to the divisive truth of the gospel fire. The fire of Jesus purifies. The sword of Jesus cuts our lives into past and future. Now we are His. Thus, we are called to amend life, to reject sin, to repent and seek forgiveness, living into God's kingdom, not at some future date, but here and now. Power, success, happiness, as the world knows them, are for those who will fight for them hard enough. But peace, love, and joy are only from God. Yet God is our beloved challenge, isn't He? Our challenge because before giving us everything, He demands of us everything. Before giving us life, He demands our lives, ourselves, our wills, our treasures. Will we give ourselves to Him, you and I? I do not know. We might, as I suggested in the beginning, think that these hard sayings and expectations of Jesus are excessive or even preposterous. We might choose to ignore them, to move on. Yet I would argue that they are not any different than the rest of the gospel. They are only one more invitation to love God radically, or radically love God and our neighbor. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud.
Jackie, Joan, Alice.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. We especially remember Martha Jamerson. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty God, help us to hear and understand the seriousness of your judgment and of our own salvation, that we may lead lives worthy of your love. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, and would you raise your hand? We will not make you give a speech, I promise. We just want you to know that you're here. Welcome over here. So glad you're here. Welcome up front. There are cards in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter and let you know all that's going on here at the cathedral. So we're so glad that you're here. Everyone, one of the objects of coming to church is to put God first and come to know and love God, but also to form community. So I have an idea for you after church. I want each one of you to find someone you don't know and introduce yourself and even ask them how you can pray for them this week. How does that sound? Can you do that for me? That's great. There will be a greeter and usher refresher course after the 10:30 service today. This is for seasoned veterans, but also for anyone interested in being a greeter or an usher. The bloodmobile is here. It is parked outside the front of the church. If you're physically able to give blood, I encourage you to do so. It's a great act of service, and our community needs that blood. There is an acolyte and verger training coming up this Saturday. Very important, all vergers and acolytes, for you to be there. Our 9 o'clock service will start up on September 8th, and it has a new structure, so please come and be sure to be trained. See the bulletin for details. The theme of this year's pledge drive, which will kick off in the fall, is the family of God. So you'll be seeing Mark, where are you? There he is. Mark's going to be taking lots of pictures, and Fuad back there too. So if you see guys taking pictures of you, don't worry. That's okay. We want to take pictures of all of our church family over the next few weeks. We are also getting ready for a wonderful weekend called Discovery Weekend. I hope you'll read more about it in your bulletin. This is a chance also to build community and for you to get to know each other's stories and learn about one another. So I hope if you can that you will consider coming. And next Sunday is Rally Day. How many of you have been to Rally Day before? A lot. Okay, a good amount. The theme of this year's Rally Day is a safari. It's a brilliant notion. You're going to get a passport when you come into Tolliver Hall. And there are booths that describe various ministries going on in the church. If you get your passport stamped at every booth, then you can enter it into a raffle to win a prize. So I hope you'll come and learn a lot about all the ministries that go on here at the cathedral. Don't forget that as you receive communion, we have people stationed at these two altars, the side chapels, who are ready to pray for you. If you need prayer, just come over and kneel at the altar rail, and they will pray with you. And last but not least, after church today, all Sunday school teachers are invited to a thank you lunch with me and Jean Dodd, even if you forgot to RSVP. If you're a teacher of any age, you are more than welcome to come and join us. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, we reconcile us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread, Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitors who will visit those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Remember that the judgment of God is real, and go forth from this place to lead lives of justice, truth, and mercy. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.